there is absolutely nothing to compare with that sense of hopelessness that floods us like a tidal wave when death tears someone that we love from our life. Tired days, sleepless nights, no energy. A fog of grief leaves you feeling like you're living in some kind of twilight zone. And the thing is, no one can prepare you for it. Nothing can let you know ahead of time what it's like to be on the receiving end of those words, "I'm sorry, we did everything we could." Your world caves in. The emptiness that follows the shock is a huge gaping void in your soul. Will it ever stop hurting? Mary Magdalene had one of those sleepless nights. She tried to sleep, then got up and paced the floor, then tried to lay down again, but sleep wouldn't come. So she got up again, and on it went through the night. She took it as long as she could and then headed for the grave early in the morning, very early, even before the sun was up. Perhaps just being near his tomb would bring some bit of relief. Mary's world was radically different from our world, yet where it counts, Mary's world was very much like our own. When death comes to someone we love, the pain of irreversible separation spans every age. From the beginning of history, death is the inescapable bottom line. Mary came to the tomb alone. Her devotion to Jesus led her to his final resting place. Mary has not come to give Jesus a proper burial, as in the other Gospels. There would have been no need to bring spices because Nicodemus had already done that in a very lavish way. She is coming simply out of devotion to Jesus. She has come to pray for Jesus and for the others in their group of followers. When she arrives at the tomb, she finds that the stone has been moved and Jesus' body is gone. She quickly runs to tell the men what has happened. She believes Jesus' body has been stolen, probably so that the place of Jesus' burial cannot become a shrine to his followers. Peter and the beloved disciple go immediately to the tomb to provide validation that Mary, a woman, is actually telling the truth, that Jesus' body really is gone. The two men run to the tomb. The beloved disciple arrives first. He looks, but doesn't go in. Simon Peter, ever impetuous, arrives second, but he rushes right into the tomb. Only then does John enter the tomb. We're told that both men believed Mary. But what did they believe? They didn't yet believe in the resurrection. They merely believed that the body was gone and that they didn't know where it was. They were simply confirming what Mary had said, for they did not yet understand the scripture that Jesus must rise again from the dead. Like Mary, they probably believed that someone had stolen Jesus' body. The men go home depressed, but Mary stays behind. Her emotions are raw, but her devotion has not been shaken. When the angels appear and ask why she's crying, it's clear by her answer that Mary still doesn't understand what has happened. She believes that Jesus' body has been stolen so that his followers can't pay their proper respects. She doesn't expect him to be resurrected. So then when Jesus appears, he asks Mary the same question, but at first she doesn't recognize him because she isn't looking for him. She doesn't expect to see him alive. By repeating the question the angels asked, Jesus reinforces for the readers that the joy that should be experienced is absent. How often in life do good things come our way, but we don't recognize them because we don't expect them or because we're looking for something else? Jesus then calls Mary by name, and she instantly recognizes him. This recalls an earlier image in John. Remember the one that says, "The sheep hear my voice, the voice of the shepherd, and they recognize his voice." Mary recognizes her Savior's voice and responds, "Rabboni." Mary's response shows respect and devotion and love. Rabboni was not merely teacher, it means beloved teacher. For Mary, the unthinkable has happened. Jesus has been resurrected from the dead. Mary runs back and tells the people, "I have seen the Lord." Think about it. What if someone you loved died? You were there when it happened. You watched the burial. It was final. Nothing in all of God's creation could change it. Then 2 days later, that same person who had died was standing right there in front of you. Would you consider that an important thing? What if death isn't the bottom line after all? What if the words that Jesus said to the disciples about people who follow him are also true? He says, "I give them eternal life and they will never perish." Because if these things are true, then the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is the most important fact in all of history, and his promise of eternal life to those who follow him is the most important hope for all humanity. As with all really important things in our lives, the things that count, the resurrection of Jesus and the promise of eternal life can get pushed aside in the midst of hectic schedules, the press of daily demands. It isn't so much that we don't realize what matters and what doesn't. It's more that we intend to get to the important things just as soon as we have a chance. Unfortunately, sometimes it takes a crisis to get our attention. How many times have you heard families say, "It's such a shame that it takes something like this to get us all together"? Mary's early morning visit to the tomb enforces two very essential concepts of Easter. The first is, you have to experience it. Mary encountered Jesus in the garden. St. Paul encountered Jesus on the way to arrest Christians and drag them back to Jerusalem in chains. Mother Teresa encountered Jesus in the poorest of the poor. Peter encountered Jesus in an amazing catch of fish. And it goes on and on and on. Where have you encountered Jesus? The important thing is not that your experience is anything like that of Mother Teresa's or like Peter's. It isn't how we experience the fact that Jesus is out of the tomb and at large in the world. The key is that somewhere, somehow, someday, we personally come to terms with the fact that Jesus is risen. It was Martin Luther who said, "It doesn't matter whether or not Jesus Christ rose from the dead if he didn't rise for you." The second important thing, you have to share it. You have to share Easter. Mary was told to go and tell. When you encounter the most important fact in all of history, you have to tell someone about it. Paul had to tell people that his whole life got turned inside out and upside down when he was on that Christian hunting trip. This incredible fact must be shared. The good news must be told. What if you and I let the truth of this Easter Sunday really sink in? Could it change the world? As you leave today, I want you to think about this. If death isn't the bottom line for those who follow Christ, how should my life be different? A second question goes to Jesus' request of Mary. Go and tell. Who do you know who most needs to know that death is not the bottom line? Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia.